22nd, 2018. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Watt from Pedro Show. I'm in the Pedro, but not with Brother Matt. Again, he's indisposed, but I think I'm going to see him Wednesday. But I'm not all the way alone because of the magic of some incredible software engineers in Estonia. Via Skype, I got Dave Ketchum. He's out
in... Hey, Mike, what's up?
Well, I'm glad to have you aboard. It's a great honor. It's righteous. Sure. And you're talking to us from the desert, huh? Joshua Tree.
Yeah, I am. I had a session today with my band Earthling, so I couldn't drive in, but it's a giant honor to be on your show. I've been a huge fan of yours since I first saw you play, before I saw you play, but definitely when I saw you play in Memphis in 1984 at the Antenna Club. That cemented you as the best bass player I've still seen to this day.
Oh, you're too kind. I remember that gig, and there ended up being a documentary, and I talked to those people about that, Pat. I think it's a ladies' bar now.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah, that's I was there last summer with Larry.
Oh, yeah, with Tal.
Tal Falco to do a Christmas record. It was 100 degrees, 100% humidity, and we're doing a Christmas record.
Where did you record that?
Damn, it was Sam Phillips, the other pad later on, Sam Phillips recording.
Oh, yeah, I recorded there a long time ago, too.
I think the first Cramp album, Songs the Lord Taught Us, was done there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They got the organ that Green Onions was written on and shit like that. I mean, it wasn't 100 degrees inside. Then there was air conditioning and all that. And I think the cousin, Judd, was running the pad. But one of the sons was there, the little guy. He ended up being a wrestler for a while. He came by. It was a good experience. And there's a great chow pad across the street. Weird kind of mix between Jamaica and Southern. But it was great chow. It was really, really good chow.
That's awesome. I miss Memphis. You know, I don't really go back a whole lot. I've only played there three times since I left there in the mid-'80s.
Damn. But you started off there. Let's begin with your earliest musical recollection, Dave.
Well, watching my brother Jack taught me how to play guitar, and I used to go watch. He had a couple of bands, one with my uncle David, who I'm named after. And they had a...
By the way, my middle name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Blame my mother.
Yeah, man.
It was my mom's fault. It was her favorite brother. Oh, so yeah. Anyway, so you're watching your brother play in these bands with your uncle.
Yeah, man. They were great. They had a band called Gasper Ghoul and another one called Thunderhead. And they used to play everything from Beatles and Hendrix to Alice Cooper and Montrose and whatever.
I saw Montrose a few times.
With
Sammy Hagar singing.
That was one of my favorite rock albums.
Rock the Nation. Sounds like I'm Free by The Who. I remember one time I saw them, they didn't have a bass guy. It was the organ man doing Left Hand.
No way.
Yeah, pinchy way.
Yeah, Montrose was a great guitar player, huh?
I think he passed away. Maybe suicide.
I think he had some serious health problems, and he did take his life.
Yeah, some pills or something. But anyway, yeah, he was a very good guitar man. I think Bay Area guy, City, yeah. Okay, so there's music in the pad that you grew up in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everybody listened to music when I was a kid. So.
But also instruments.
Yeah. I used to sneak my brother's guitar out, and then one day he caught me and decided he would teach me some chords, and that was what got me on the road.
Okay, can you remember the first record you bought for yourself?
Snoopy and the Red Baron by the Royal Guardsmen.
I remember that song.
I think I was like 6 years old. Speaking of Christmas songs.
Yeah, right.
I think it's probably the weirdest Christmas song ever.
Oh, you know what? I should say what we started the show off with. Seraphic Alive by John Coltrane and then Bought and Sold, Dave Ketchum.
Oh, nice, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I found that video, and I thought it was beautiful music.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I love the people that played on that album.
Yeah, how'd that come about?
It's just friends coming out and playing. You know, like, I started songs, and then whoever was out here, I'd make them play on my record while they were out here.
Great. So
the good thing about having a studio is, like, when people come over, you can You make them play stuff.
Yeah, corral them. what was the first gig you went to?
My first gig was Chicago Transit Authority.
Ah, yeah. Richard
O'Leary. 1970.
Okay. A lot of horns.
Yeah, a lot of horns. I might have seen something else before that, but that's the one I remember, like, really going to.
Actually, a good guitar player there, too, who took his life. Or maybe it was an accident. Or, you know, some people say he was cleaning his gun or something.
Yeah, Barry Katz.
Right. He could sing good and play. Yeah, incredible musician.
Yeah.
But I still think they're going. In some
form. Yeah, they're still rolling 50 years later.
Okay. So your brother shows you guitar. Did you do any music in school?
No. Nah, well, you know, I had a band when I was in high school, and we played.
No, I'm talking about like classes. I'm talking like classes, like harmony or.
I can't read music.
Marching band or shit like that. Oh, okay.
I wish I would have. That
no, the whole idea is your journey through music, and everybody has different ways of doing this thing.
Right.
You know,
I just got I had some friends that played music, and also. The place where I bought my first guitar was a place in Memphis called Pick and Post. Okay. And every Wednesday night they had a big jam where all these really great, you know, country and bluegrass players would come. And they would let kids like me pick up guitars and play along, you know. But they had some really great musicians. And I learned a lot watching those guys play.
Wow. Okay. And then your brother showed you stuff, but you didn't really have lessons.
No lessons. He just showed me. I think the first song he showed me was "Deuce" by Kiss.
Oh yeah, it's got the rhythm guitar. In fact, I remember a time when Paul Stanley was on tour doing rhythm guitar clinic at the Shepard Centers. Yeah, like solo rhythm guitar. You know, because if you listen to a lot of the old Kiss songs, there's these little breaks where he kind of had his dealio, but it wasn't Ace Frehley kind of thing. It was rhythm guitar, you know? And Deuce has one of those. It's in the middle and it's at the beginning.
Yeah, those guys worked hard.
Right? What was it? It was like... Yeah, you know, we saw them about four, five times before they even had an album out. Because they would open... Yeah, they would open for everybody. I mean, we saw him with Savoy Brown, we saw him with Camel, Wishbone Ash, you know, all kinds of weird shit. The five-man version of James Gang with Tommy Bolin.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That was a trip. Yeah, that didn't last long. But in fact, Gene Simmons' hair caught fire. Rhodey had to put it out with a towel, a wet towel.
No way.
Yeah, peachy way, I saw it. You know, they weren't big. The Kiss sign was light bulbs. You know, this was the early days. And then I remember the first album came out, it was so slow. Compared to what we were seeing, you know, they played a lot quicker live.
They got a little bit more energy in them to rock it up.
Yeah, I don't know what the story of the first album is, but it seems like they were being a lot more careful than at the gigs. The gigs were, you know, it's kind of like New York Dolls with a monster makeup instead of dresses. I mean, the Dolls, I think, were a better band, but it was kind of that kind of trip, and it was coming out of Prague days. So, for us, it was a little bit interesting.
Yeah, man.
You know, I mean, they turned into like a comic book and shit like this. But that first Kiss was kind of important for me and D. Boone. I saw George last night, by the way, in Pedro. He played with a band called The Farmers. And he's playing great, man. Looking good. He went back to surfing. So, you said you had a band. Well, fuck. I want to play something here. I want to play Powdered Wig Machine.
All right.
What? Tell us something about this.
Well, we do this thing out here with my buddy Josh from Queens of the Stone Age called the Desert Sessions.
Yeah.
And we bring in a bunch of musicians that haven't met, and this is all Josh's ideas. You get a bunch of his favorite musicians together and make them write songs. So during one of the sessions, we were having a problem with one of the lines, one of the cables. So I plugged in the synthesizer to check it, and Josh came back and was like, "What the fuck is this?" And I was like, "Oh man, I'm just checking a cable. Let me turn it off." And he's like, "No, I love it." And so he jumped on it. Mickey from Ween jumped on it. Josh Fries played drums on it.
I heard Mickey does fish tours.
That's what he's doing now.
Yeah. Like you pay him money and he'll take you out where the fucking big fish are.
Yeah, but besides music, that's his favorite thing, so he's loving that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's listen.
It's true. kill them, but we can't film them. We can can them, but we can't scan them. Scan them.
Scotch?
Yeah, same thing.
Scotch.
Understand French?
No.
I'm going to give you a little bit of French.
J'ai le temps de dire tout ce que je n'ai pas toi. J'ai le temps pour moi, c'est le déchet de vous. J'ai.
Sounds awful. What is it?
It was so dirty, you can't say it.
And you're, I don't know what you do. Let's see. Gosh, I don't know anything about you. Just give me an hour, and I'll think of it.
Well, with every rocks in it, will knock you out of your socks. Get them on the floor and watch them really try to score. Roller derby burns and skates and shakes, and just watch them make left turns. Skaters block and jam and thrust, really shove and push and slam. These women are really mad. They skate around the ring so hard. Aren't you glad they've got pads to save their knees and arms? I love to watch them skate and really move around the track. I really love the game, and I'll be coming back.
notion of a safe place. Go out there. Your heart is like a sack of drowned puppies. Go out there. Build a boat, a small one. Go out there. It's your as and when I understand. I'll try and step back, but go out there. What's this idea of refuge?
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't say I want to be bad, but I'm held to good. The world was at its best, and all the people, they were dead. Oh, me, you're a vegetable boy.
Show, we heard a Powder Wig Machine, that's PJ Harvey singing. Dave was just telling me, tracked the whole fucking thing in an hour.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
Yeah. Then we heard Guided by Voices with It's Food, Bo Peep, out of Tokyo with Let's Go Bananas. Zill, brand new. France, you are. Joe Brewer, Madison, Wisconsin. Roller Derby Rocks. Holly Reeve, I think he's on tour in Spain right now. Idea of Refuge, A World Where Hope Seldom Outlives Despair by Stick Sellers, upstate New York. The Sold and Bones out of, I think, Valley. The Val.
That's some great stuff.
Dave Grohl's in the Val now. Throw Me a Line. Vicious Circle, that's the first version of TSOL. And Jack, Brother Jack. And Peaches finally with You Love It. No, she's a Canadian lady, but she was there at your pad?
No, we didn't. We didn't record that. We recorded that at I think it was Mike Beccaro's studio in the Valley.
Brothers, right? The drummer on Thriller.
Yep.
Jeff.
He's got a studio, and she was doing a record, and she needed a guitar, and I brought a guitar over for her to use.
Well,
and
he passed away, and then his house turned into like a studio where people live at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And in fact, I went into the bedroom. You see where all the cho-cho was chopped up. And
exactly. Right. You've been
there's
there.
A little corridor between the closet and the bedroom. Yeah. They tried to say he died of bug spray on New Year's Eve or something. But he was a bitchin' drummer. And I guess one brother was a bass man, one was keyboard.
Yeah.
Incredibly talented.
I forgot
family.
That keyboard one's name. But Jeff was really good, too.
Yeah, yeah. Ended up in Toto and stuff. I think also Jeff's all over Katie Lied, Steely Dan.
I think so. I think he was.
Yeah, so you recorded there. See, listeners, Dave sent me a bunch of music. Some of it's with him, but some of it's also with stuff he's worked on. And we're going to get to that, how he got up to this. At the moment, we're still in, is it grade school, high school, junior high?
Yeah, high school. Yeah, okay. We're still in high school.
Okay, you got a band on the side. What were they called?
Well, our first band was called Snatch.
Yeah. Right.
And that was after the Snatch comic book, underground comic book.
I remember the with Zap and all that stuff.
That was our first
Furry Freak Brothers.
All that stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm friends with Charlie Pine. Actually, I'm buddies with a cat. He lives in Cherry Valley now, upstate New York, and Charlie Plymel, he put out the first Zap comic.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was living. I wouldn't shit you, Dave. He was living up in the city with Allen Ginsberg and Neil Cassidy. And
wow.
He put out the Zap number one. Yeah.
That's a bold move back then. Man.
Yeah,
that's
Wichita Cat like too.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. He's still going. He's still going. He's an older gentleman now, but. In fact, with my cuss project, we're going to do some more songs with him singing and writing lyrics. And anyway, so Snatch, do you remember the first gig?
Yeah. Well, we only had one gig, but that was our that was our talent show at the school.
Oh, yeah.
Our drummer.
You don't know how many people have done that.
Yeah.
Even Watt did it. I played bass for the best bass player at Pedro High, but he wanted to play piano, so he asked me to do bass on the Stevie Wonder song that was bass line. I can't remember the tune, but I remember the bass line was total kick drum pattern, just boom, boom, boom. So Watt was okay.
Hell yeah! I just remember having a few girls tell me that they liked the way I played guitar, and I'd only been playing for maybe like 3 or 4 months. We did Heartbreaker by Grand Funk Railroad.
I remember that song. Wow, wow! Because you know somebody else had a heartbreaker, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I remember that was a guy, because everybody had that red Grand Funk record. And personally, I did not like Grand Funk.
I wasn't a huge fan. I liked like a couple of songs, you know.
Do you remember how huge they were, though? They were big.
They were giant everywhere, you know, everywhere.
You know, I saw Blow 'Em Away, though, in the 70s. Jay Giles.
Oh, yeah. I saw Jay Giles.
That was a good band. I think it was named after the guitar man.
Yeah.
Magic Dick on the harp.
Yeah. They were great live. They put on a...
Records ain't too good, but live, they were bitching, man. I think a Boston band or something.
Peter Wolf, man. He put on a great show.
Peter Wolf, yeah. And then the band, too. They were smoking. Kind of R&B. Rock and roll, but more with some R&B stuff. Okay, so after Snatch, what happens?
Then we started another band called Red Sharks, and we were in the next year's talent show that we won. And again, the same drummer did not show up for our show. So both years we had to play without a drummer, but the second year we won.
What happened? And at the last minute he just choked?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. He was a great drummer, but he didn't make either of those shows, and he played with us for a while, and then he quit, and I heard he quit music, so.
Man, but you do a rock and roll gig without a drummer.
I know, right? You just gotta do it. I mean, we're there.
You gotta soldier on. You gotta, push. Of course.
And that band Red Sharks we kept for a long time. That was probably 78. And
guys ever record?
We record. Yeah, we did. I went to a place called Kingsbury. It was like they taught automotive mechanics and studio broadcasting, like broadcasting and studio recording. So
with auto mechanics.
Yeah, I should have learned how to work on cars because that seems like
parallel universe.
but we did record a few songs in actually it's funny, we did the Iggy version of Louie Louie with all cousin.
Yeah,
and right. We didn't get in trouble for that. We did a
Tyler K.O.
Yeah, we did a cover of
you know, it was his 71st birthday yesterday.
I know, man. I know.
That's bitching.
I wish you could have come down for the album he made here. That was a really fun session.
He did ask me to come see him at the Greek Do It, and I thought Josh did a great fucking job.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of those. We were on tour against them the whole time, but everybody said it was amazing.
I liked it. It was a lot of idiot in that album, post-depression thing.
Yeah,
and he did really good. He looked like he was having a fucking bitching time, and Josh put together a happening band for him.
Oh, yeah, man.
Larry's got another opinion, but I dug it.
Yeah.
You know, Larry's kind of picky about drummers, you know. He followed Ig around. We're going to get to this point, because you end up leaving Memphis.
Yeah, I ended up leaving Memphis. In the mid-80s, it just changed, and it seemed like at that point you either went to New York City or Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And we had just played on my mom's birthday. We opened for the Gun Club. My friend Jim Duckworth played on Death Punch.
Yeah, right. I was going to ask what guitar player version was it, because Jeffrey went through, you know, Kid, Jim.
Yeah.
I got to play with Jim Duckworth's K9 Arts.
Oh, yeah. With
Craig Schindler on the bass.
Yeah, he was in our band, The Modifiers, and he was my roommate in
LA. Wow.
LA.
Was it Durf Scratch a modifier, too?
Yeah, he was.
That's where I bought my first Fender bass from, was Durf Scratch. He was selling realty. His parents had a realtor's thing on the beach in Santa Monica.
Well, I remember one of our shows, and we started playing LA in 82, but in 85 we did some sort of benefit at Anti Club, and I remember you and Flea were there to see Durf play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
we were buddies. I mean, we didn't live, you know, Pedro was kind of far, but I'd see him at gigs and stuff, and he was always very kind to me. And I know he ended up, maybe he passed away in Memphis even.
Craig?
No, Durf.
Craig,
I think, was on tour in New York City and had a heart attack, right?
I think so, yeah.
Because Doug Rockett, good friend of mine from Memphis who passed away, his sister, Karen Rockett, who's with Steve-O now, you know, they're living in Arkansas, but he had the Buck. I heard the Buck burned down.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, when was that?
Just recent.
Hmm.
But he. Well, anyway, we got some common things. So you start playing in SoCal, and then you decide we should live here.
Yeah, we just came out to play the gigs, and the funny thing is, on the way out, we were saying, hey, you know, Spit Sticks and Durf Scratch are both out of Fear now. Maybe we can get them as our because we went three piece with our drummer.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, you know, he wasn't like a solid member. He was just going for the show.
Yeah.
And the first night we pulled up to the Cafe de Grand, we met Durf, and he ended up playing that show with us. Because at the time I was playing bass because our bass player couldn't make it.
Okay.
So we met during...
Man, you got some flaky people in your musical life, Dave.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then the next...
Man, like somebody might have had some bald spots slapped on their heads. It was Pedro not showing up to fucking kick like this. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. Watch for Pedro Show, April 22nd, 2018. Special guest, Dave Ketchins. Hold tight for hour two. April 22nd, 2018. It's the second hour. Watch for Pedro Show.
Dvojka branja desnira su igraju, kašu, pevaju i deru. Daj je!
Malo ti sa dečom, jedi pokrivače, nezdravo je za njih. Brzo ti vesu, uđu naruču, nezdravo je.
Dečom treba naviknuti da spavaju,
otkrivena lica i suda. Odevati decu u pesmu, odeću i obuću, jako je škodljivo. Deci treba dopustiti da jedu koliko god hoće, svakojaka voća. Majka svaka, da nauči decu svakome korisnome radu domaćem. I radi zdravlja i razumnosti, deci imaju pravo podviknuti.
Akrobata,
biti uravnotežen.
I nije tako teško, zar ne?
Mario.
conditional law. Cold case tried around the block. Show me how it's done. Man on the lawn, you're wasting your time. It won't try to hold you tight, but you're not alone.
Walker Pedro Show, we start the second hour off with the second time through this shit. Queens of the Stone Age, you're so vague. Verma's Dolimbo with the limbo beat. Sarno Akabada, Paziri Natachu, The Strongest Fool Alive from Ghost Car, and Conditional Love, I Took Your Name. Groningen. People from Groningen, we were talking about how we love Groningen and Hollywood.
But
getting back to the story of you coming to SoCal, the modifiers kind of, what was your word, petered out.
You know, sometimes you just, it's not working, everybody starts doing something else, and at the time, we've been playing a bunch of shows with Tex and the Horseheads, and her band fell apart, and she asked if I wanted to start a band with her, and then we met Larry.
And Larry had come to, he was following Iggy around, gig to gig.
He was following Iggy around, and what's really funny,
he had the drums in the back of a station wagon, right?
He had an old station wagon, and the really funny thing is
he's from the other side though, right? Knoxville.
Yeah, Knoxville. On the other side. We didn't know each other in Tennessee, unfortunately.
Yeah. But yeah, Tennessee is kind of a trippy state for, the country, because it's got to be the most wide versus tall. It's really
it's
short.
On the other side.
Right. And people, if you ever look at their flag and there's three stars, that's because Knoxville, Nashville, Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so you meet Larry because he ends up in town because he's following gig to gig trying to get in the band.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is the night before he auditioned for Iggy,
yeah,
there was a party at the Mayan, and it was Don Was's birthday or something.
Mayan Theater, downtown.
So, yeah, and so Iggy was playing, and during sound check, I was there, and he broke a string. He was playing guitar, and I asked him if he wanted me to change the string for him.
Oh, yeah, I remember that era. And he's left-handed.
And he was like, he was like, yeah, that'd be cool. And he came down and started talking to me, and I said, you know, I got to tell you, my roommate's the dude that's been following you around. Because he mentioned Larry on TV before.
That's what Larry said when I had him on the show. That he talks about him on a talk show.
Yeah. And so I said, I got to tell you, man, he's my roommate. And Iggy was like, so what's he like? I'm like, you're going to hire him for sure. He's one of the best drummers. He's the coolest guy. And the biggest mistake I ever made is Iggy said, oh, Do you know, I need a bass player. Do you want to play bass? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm a guitar player. I know some good bass players. You know, I could come down. And he said, well, you know, I got a guitar player. And it was the biggest mistake I ever made. I should have just gone in and
played. You could have ended up playing with fucking Larry with it.
I know.
God damn.
But he did hire him the next day. And Larry's still playing with him now.
Yeah, incredible.
Here and there.
Yeah, incredible. Well, he came and saved the day when Scotty got sick.
Yeah, man. That was a sad
Yeah,
moment.
I missed the Ashton brother. You know, I did some Stooges songs last night. I was thinking of both the brothers and Brother Steve. And Nick. And also James Williamson was very nice to me, too. But there's something about those original guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Steve recorded out here with some people a long,
that's
long
right,
time.
That's right. He told me about that.
He was super cool, man.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful man.
Really super nice. You know, you would have never guessed how talented he was, but how mellow he was.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I get a little sad sometimes.
Yeah, sorry.
But I got 125 months with him. I got to serve with those guys. Finally, the youngest cat in the band.
Dude, I saw you. I saw you guys play so many times, and it was amazing.
Well, once
time.
We played in Memphis, right by the river, and Jerry Lee was on the other stage. I think we were on the Budweiser stage.
No way. That's
yeah,
funny.
It was some weird kind of festival where they had a stage on each end, right by the river.
I miss those kind of festivals there. The river.
We stayed at Peabody, where the ducks do the fucking walk.
I love the Peabody.
Okay. So you're playing with Tex. How'd that go?
That was really fun, man. We had a really good couple of years, and then at the same time, the band called the Ringling Sisters started, and it was supposed to be just like a bunch of girls doing poetry, and so it was Pleasant Gaiman and Iris Berry and Tex and Johnette Napolitano.
Oh,
and,
yeah, right.
And a few other girls, Annette Zelenskis.
Right.
Debbie Patino from Raza Bray.
Yes, you know,
so it was all the cool. It was all the cool girls from all the cool bands doing like poetry and stuff. And then we started. They wanted a band to back them up. So our friend Gary Eaton was with a girl named Debbie Dexter who was in the band, and they were writing some songs. And then they brought me and Larry in because we all played together. And next thing we know, we got signed to A&M and did a record with Lou Adler.
Well, and I think Larry lived at Lou Adler's for a little bit.
Yeah, we all lived up there for a bit.
You were living there too. Oh wow.
Yeah, we were rehearsing there, and we would stay there too. Larry stayed there more often because he didn't have a place at the time.
Yeah.
But it was amazing, man. He had some, you know, he put on Monterey Pop Festival and.
Oh yeah. Oh no. And involved with the whiskey and all that shit.
Oh
here,
man.
Here I'm about to play this uncle.
Okay.
Hold my hand.
end of day and twilight falls again to the funniest sound that a blackbird makes. Twilight falls again as no good reason remains. I'll do the same thinking of you. One day ship comes in, one day ship comes in, but I can't say how or when. But I know somewhere a ship comes in every day. There is no more pain, I'm only sleeping. There is no climb to dreams like this. And if you could take something with you, it would be right. Something good. From my fingertips, the cigarette grows ashes to the ground. I'd stop and talk to the girls who work this street, but I got business farther down. Like one long season of rain, I will remain thinking of you. One day ship comes in from far away, ship comes in. 100 days you wait for it, and you know somewhere ship comes in every day. There is no more pain, I'm only sleeping. There is no crime to dreams like this. And if you could take something with you, it would be bright, just like something good. One dead ship comes in, 100 days wait for it. Nothing bright, something so good.
Like, they recorded more songs than almost anyone ever. They just were going and going. And one day, you know, James Lavelle, he's a DJ. He's never sang. He kind of pushes the direction of the song. And he'd written some words. And I was like, let's cut that with you singing. You know, we were waiting for a couple of people to show up.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I don't sing. And I'm like, nobody sings. Just, you know, do your thing.
Right.
And that was the first time his voice had been on one of his records. I really like that song. It's, you know, it's
yeah.
It's a little groover.
Yeah, yeah. Then we heard Here Lies Man, Letting Go, Spirit Valley, Night Sharks, Disorder of Pieces. And finally, Mark Lanegan with 100 Days. Mark Lanegan, former singer of Screamin' Trees. I took Screamin' Trees on their first two tours in the late 80s.
I saw that tour at the Roxy.
Yeah, the Connor Brothers. Oh, right, right.
No, wait. Actually, we opened that show. The Earthlings.
That's right. We shared the stage. Dave.
We did share the stage, and yeah. Josh was playing with Screaming Trees.
And Mark Lanegan, you know, you could the sound man would never put his voice up. The guy has such a beautiful voice. They do now. But in those days, and Gary Lee was kind of Pete Townsend. It was the great band.
Yeah.
Mark Pickrell, Van Conner on the bass.
That show was one of my favorites. You guys killed it. You had a bunch of amazing musicians with you that night, too.
Well, yeah, that was what do you call that? Wrestling.
Yeah.
But Memphis is big for wrestling. I found out about Sputnik Monroe.
Oh, yeah, man.
Studio there. I didn't know about it. Me and Pettibone are big, but we knew more about Don Morocco and people like this. We didn't know about the heavy-duty Memphis scene. And reading about Sputnik Monroe and all those cats, I mean, pretty intense.
We used to go every Monday night. It was $1.03 to go in. We even saw like the Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler.
Right, that went on for a while. Right, King Jerry.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Because Andy Kaufman would only wrestle women.
Yeah.
And then he got body slammed in his neck in the thing, and it's hard to know when that guy was on and not on.
I know.
I think that was part of his what do you call that? A shtick.
Yeah.
Quite a funny guy. He died way too young.
Way too young. You know, in Memphis, Saturday would be the wrestling show.
Yeah.
And so they would interview the wrestlers and stir up the trouble so that you would want to go on Monday nights. Yeah. But it was amazing. It was when I woke up, I think it was 11 o'clock every Saturday. And no matter how hungover you were, you woke up to watch that because it was so great. But Andy Kaufman was on that a lot, too.
The beefs. You got to get the beef going.
Exactly.
Right, so you can settle it on Monday night.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at the end of a second hour. Walk Peter Show, April 22, 2018. Special guest, Dave Katz. And hold tight for hour three. April 22nd, 2018. It's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
decisions are mine, and the promise is broken. Opportunity's mine, and the showers are broken. When you find yourself so tired, and you lose it again, don't let your last plan backfire. You must go after that man. Don't let them take it for a ride. You are your own only friend, and when there's no one by your side, it's a business getting our day.
flicker, flicker, flicker away. I just could make it out in the haze where the day animals play. But I can't see the sky. Must be a million miles away. On another day.
Watch for Pedro show. We started the third hour off with Conversing Among Misfits, Earthlings. And now here's Dave telling you the story of the Earthlings.
All right. Well, so when I started the studio here with Fred Drake, who was living here and wanted to start a studio, and he invited me to be his partner, when we got the studio set up, we started recording some songs. And then my best friend Hutch, who does sound for a lot of bands, he introduced me to Pete Stahl, who had Scream and Wool.
D.C.
And he came out.
East side people.
And yeah,
then
yeah.
Moved out to the west here, yeah.
Yeah, Virginia, D.C. area.
Yeah.
So he started coming out and singing. And then we got our buddy Adam Maples, who was in Legal Weapon and a bunch of other bands. And he started playing drums.
Yeah.
And now we have our buddy Jonathan Hischke, who's a really great bass player.
Yeah, I know Jonathan.
He's from Nebraska. Dot Hacker. And
right. He's actually a Nebraska kid.
Yeah. So he's come. He lives out here now. So
I first met him. He was playing in the Butcherettes with that.
Oh yeah, that's right.
From Locust, Gabe was on the drums.
Yeah, he's a shredding bass player though.
Oh yeah, I love him. And yeah, he was trying to do a radio show. Maybe he still is with bass players talking to bass players.
I'll have to hit him up. He should be here any minute. I told him to come over.
Okay, so you guys, why did you call Earthlings, and what's the question mark about?
Well, I wanted a band that included everybody in the name, except for you didn't know if you were an Earthling, because you might be from somewhere else. So I don't know. I just wanted a name that didn't, I love like Judas Priest or, you know, some of these heavier bands, but you're kind of like locked into playing, you know, if you have a super heavy name, yeah, you know, you're kind of locked into playing heavy music. And I wanted us to be able to do whatever kind of music we wanted to. Cause
you know what? It was a funny, there's a band we played with up in the city, and, the music wasn't so interesting, but they were called Uncle Bob Touched Me. Talk about being painted into a corner, you know.
Yeah. That's the problem, right? I mean, but, you know, like with you know, you just got to keep it open, because I want to be able to play every kind of music, and I want to be able to do it. I'm already old now, but back
then.
That's
a great philosophy, because music is music, right? Genres is some kind of marketing shortcut, bullshit, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, who wants to make the same album over and over anyway?
I'm with you, Dave. So, Earthlings is going to record today.
We're recording today, actually.
And who's in this version? You got Jonathan?
Yeah, we got Jonathan and Pete and Adam, myself, and Brian O'Connor, the bass player that used to play with me in Eagles of Death Metal.
Okay. And this is a brand new album?
This is going to be a brand new album. Actually, we haven't gotten together in a while, so we're just going to jam and see what happens.
Ah, okay. That's kind of your process. You jam around, you look for the good licks, and then later on, yeah, you start off too much and then cut away the chafe.
Yeah, I mean, you've been here. There's lots of toys around here, so you just start turning stuff on, and usually something will happen.
Yeah. Toys. Okay. Greg Taborn, he's going to be on the show coming up. Incredible piano man from back east.
He's
of Mysterio. Yeah, isn't he wild? I mean,
oh my God.
Incredible. Stevie Bono made that connect for me. Zero Debt out of Sydney with only friend. By the way, thinking of Australia, we lost Brian Hooper from Beast of Bourbon. Beautiful man. Their bass man. The cancer got him.
They were great,
man. I love Brian. Yeah, incredible band. Tex and all those cats. I just love that band. I got to do 5-6 gigs with the Stooges with them the last time they played there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wouldn't shit you, Dave. And then Unit F out of Orange County here. Maybe they're Valley. Or maybe they're Highland Park. A Party in the White House. And then finally, Nothing from Earthlings. So we got a couple Earthling songs there. This studio he's been referred to is called Rancho de la Luna. And what was the first thing that you did there? Your partner, the guy who invited you aboard, cancer got him too, right?
It did indeed, unfortunately. They gave him about 6 months, and he ended up living for another dozen years.
Yeah.
He was the toughest dude I've ever met in my life, Fred Drake. Yeah.
Fred Drake, much respect.
Yeah,
because he was in a way, he's a big time responsible for Rancho. I mean, of course, all your work too, but
no. Well, he was when he got the news that he wasn't going to live long. He just happened to be out here, and he found this house and decided, I'm not going to live the rest of my life in L.A. dealing with shit. I want to start a studio and record my songs before I go. And for some reason, I was living in New Orleans with a restaurant, but for some reason, he called me of all people. We were friends, you know, not super, super tight at the time.
Yeah.
But we'd work together and liked each other a lot. And he just called me out of the blue when I had the restaurant and asked if I wanted to do the studio with him. And it was, I don't know if you remember Dean Chamberlain. He had a
absolutely.
He had a
band called,
yeah. So
he had a band called Blue.
Code Blue.
In fact, I did a gig with him. With Dallas Taylor and Randy California, and I remember Ray Manzanerick showed me to the writer on the Storm bass line on the organ.
Oh my God!
Practice in Hollywood. It was some gig to freeze nuclear weapons or something, and I got to play with them guys. And it actually was rehearsal because the pad had a big mirror, and these guys were jammed. You know, it was a dance thing, I think.
Yeah.
So the whole bulkhead was a giant mirror, and these cats were like, I turned around.
Was that at Dominion Way, Dean's place?
It might have been.
Yeah, because he it was right in Hollywood.
This is like, we're talking middle 80s.
Yeah.
A long time ago. Dean was very, very cool people.
Oh, so cool, man. I mean, we're still really good friends, you know?
Okay,
but yeah, so that's how we all met. Fred was the head engineer. It was Dominion Way rehearsal and recording studio.
Okay.
Anyway, so he invited me out here, and we started recording right away, you know, just checking stuff out. And then within a couple of months, Daniel Lanois, you know, famous producer.
New Orleans guy.
Yeah, he was working on a soundtrack record, and he decided that he'd heard that this place was cool, so he decided to do some of that here. And that's when it really turned, because his engineer, Mark Howard, who I'm sure you know,
sure,
he works with Larry a lot.
He's going through some cancer shit.
He is?
Yeah, Larry told me really bad. I mean, you know, because he was doing, we worked on this French, right? Singer,
yeah.
Guy, a beautiful man, yay. And he was going to come and do the last parts of it to mix it, and had to go to the emergency room.
That's right, man. That's why he couldn't come out here.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that cancer shit.
Man, it's everywhere now.
Yeah, I'm going to play some Fatso Jetso. Oh, no, actually, it's Caius. It's called Fatso for Getso.
Yeah, we'll play some... house where the singer and the guitar player lived.
Yeah.
A lot of people did. They had this giant house on Madison Avenue about a block away from the antenna, so anybody that played the antenna would usually stay with those
right,
guys.
Right, right. And I remember the doorman, Rebel. He lost his leg.
Yep.
Diabetes.
Yep. Did you ever meet, do you remember Angerhead?
Angerhead.
He was another bouncer.
Yeah.
He had big red mohawk.
That's right.
We had a band together, too, called Angerhead for a while.
But I just saw Rebel in a wheelchair. He came to my gig maybe a year ago. Caius with Fatso Fergazzo, Spice Pistols with Pretty Vacant cover there, DMF Anthem, Twisted Noise Association, Nada, Evil Hearted You with Reunion, Mute Point with Birthday Candles, and finally Sunday, since it's Sunday, and that's from Ig. And that's something that you gave me that came out of your pad there.
Yeah.
So current plans right now is Earthling's album.
That's right.
And what do you got after that?
After that, not a whole lot right now. Just
okay,
kind of
that's cool. That's cool.
Seeing what's, I'm just working on stuff here. You know, I got a few bands here and there. Nothing, you know, like giant right now. But
what about if somebody younger came up to you and asked for some advice, Dave, in this music racket shit? What would you tell him?
Or become her? Become a mechanic.
Do the other class.
I'd say do your own stuff and do it hard and long, you know, and just, you know, do your own stuff. Don't try to sound like anybody else. Just have fun with it.
That's bitch advice. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a really big honor for me because I love your music and I love you as a dude. It's April 22nd, 2018 edition of the Watt Pedro Show, people. Keep your powder dry.